Dick Cavett is one of probably the best known hosts of The Dick Cavett Show.
Among the top three.
Yes, exactly. Which ran on ABC from 1968 to 1975 and on public television from 1977 to 1982. He is also the author of the books Cavett, Eye on Cavett, and most recently Talk Show, Confrontations, Pointed Commentary, and Off-Screen Secrets, published in November by Times Books. You can also find him online. He's a contributor to the New York Times Opinionator blog. Mr. Dick Cavett got his start as a comedy writer, and recently he's been appearing on comedian Dave Hill's live on stage talk show, The Dave Hill Explosion, which is where I first had the pleasure of meeting him in person. I'm so glad that Dick Cavett can join us now to talk about his career in comedy and talk show hosting. And he's going to perform some magic tricks and we'll be taking calls. So if you have a question for Dick Cavett, and I know that you will, you can reach us now at 646-829-3985. That number again, 646-829-3985. Welcome to Cavett.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
Were you talking about sharks at all?
I it so happens that I was talking about sharks.
Just a guess.
I just want the listeners to hear this. That's the script that I'm throwing away because I might as well walk out of the room at this
point.
A
wise thing. Yeah, you were looking, by the way, at a man, I wanted to tell her, who saw a fin while swimming in the ocean.
You saw a fin floating around?
There was a shark attached to it.
When was this?
Assumed. Years ago, off Montauk, where sharks are known.
I'm going to ask you very specific questions so that I make sure that you're not telling fibs to me.
Well, we should ask me what my rule is about when you see a fin. There is one thing, and it occurred to me, and that is to get into the center of a large city.
Ah, I see.
Whenever you see a fin, bear that in mind.
So you saw a fin while swimming off of Montauk?
Off Montauk, but, yeah.
What did you do exactly? Did you stay still? Did you panic?
It would be poor taste to say physically what I probably did.
I
swam as hard as I could.
Yeah.
And then realized maybe I should remain quiet. And I never saw the fin again. But another time for a sea adventure.
Did you ever go in the ocean again?
Yes, probably twice.
And that's it?
And that was 35 years ago. But how about this?
That shark is still looking for you.
Well, he had a kind of winsome look in his eye. He only had one eye. But there was another time I was out in a little boat of mine. And I thought, I'm going to see if I can get so far out I don't see the land.
Right.
Just for the fun. And then, as in a horror movie, a nuclear submarine surfaced just to my right, boiling of water, and then this huge black blind thing with no windows moving through the water. And I thought, if they're enemy, they'll just blow me away. No one will ever know what happened to me.
Well, I think they're rather like whale sharks. They're aware of you, but indifferent.
Yeah. Yeah. Good of you to comfort me.
Yes. Unless it was Richard Nixon at the helm of the submarine hunting him some Cavett.
Mr. Richard Milhouse Nixon, the Yorba Linda Wonder, was not unknown to Montauk. He came out there. He almost bought a house out there.
You guys would have had dinner together and cocktails.
We could have. He walked the beach at Gurney's famous inn talking to possible voters wearing his, what he was born in, a mm-hmm. blue suit and tie and black shoes.
Right, his birthday suit.
His people watched his ankles fill with sand. He walked about saying, "My name is Richard Nixon."
A man who needs no introduction but offers it anyway.
Yes.
And he was not a fan of yours.
No, this is interesting. I was persona grata at the White House once. The actor Nicol Williamson was invited over by him to do an evening of Shakespeare, and I was invited by someone on Nixon's staff who must have been fired later in retrospect for inviting me.
But he considered you an enemy?
Well, he did later because I accepted John Lennon's offer to come down and testify that he shouldn't be exported by Nixon and his lickspittle, H.L. Haldeman.
And so you overheard tape of them discussing you, isn't that right? I read about this.
You
in
know
your
everything.
Book.
Wow. Yeah, I got in the back of a limo one time at some TV Guide event, and the guy said, "My girlfriend works for the Nixon tapes. They're still coming out. Watch this." He flips up a computer. There are Nixon and Haldeman at the famous desk. And the words, both sound and picture, come on the screen. "What is Cavett anyway? Oh, he's the worst. He loads every show. What are we doing about that?" Well, we're trying to think of what to do. Something goes on for only a couple of minutes, but the penultimate line, which some people confuse with the ultimate line, is, well, how can we screw him? That's what I want to know.
Charlie in Highlands, New Jersey, left this question for Dick Cavett. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't President Clinton steal the line about not inhaling marijuana from one of Dick's appearances on the Merv Griffin show?
Yes. My God, come to think of it. Go to the head of the class. What's his name?
Charlie in Highlands, New Jersey.
Charles in Highland, yeah.
I call him Charlie.
Well, you're so friendly. Yeah. Yes, I had forgotten this. Yes.
Is that a joke that you told on the Merv Griffin show?
I was on Griffin, and I think one of the Chicago Seven or some alleged radical was seated there and said, Kevin, your word of honor, did you ever smoke? Do you smoke pot?
Right. I
heard from Janis Joplin that you smoke pot. Is it true? And I said, I do, but I don't inhale. And then, yes, after some time, the president, somebody.
Charlie has just alerted you that the president, former president, owes you a royalty.
Well, yeah. Maybe one of his writers or one of his staff gave it to him. I don't know. I met him once, and I didn't confront him with that. But isn't memory a funny thing? I had forgotten it until Charlie brought it back.
That's why Charlie is there.
Yeah.
You've met a lot of people. You've obviously talked to presidents. Any royalty on their show?
Royalty? Joan Rivers. In comedy. Let's see, have I had royalty on? I had one of the blindingly unremarkable sons of Franklin Delano Roosevelt on once. And he was a bit of a clod. And I suppose when I was a kid, anyone related to Roosevelt would have been royalty. That may be the closest I've come.
Well, let me ask you in terms of, you know, I'm hosting this talk show. This is my first time guest hosting here on the Leonard LePage Show on WNYC. Hmm. I'm talking with Dick Cavett. This is WNYC FM, WNYC.org. And I'm learning ways to gradually slip in important information into what sounds like a natural conversation. I don't know how good a job I'm doing. But when you open a conversation with somebody that someone like a president or former president or mm-hmm. John Lennon, what's the first question you'd ask?
Well, you don't want to say, how's your old wazoo or any kind of thing like that.
All right.
Cross that out on your list there. I couldn't help seeing it as number one on your list.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I should answer that in reverse. When I met President Nixon in the receiving line at this event at the White House, I looked at him, and all I could think of was words I used in a blog. You cannot take your eyes off of his nose because of its appalling width. It seemed to be 2.5 inches wide, the way cartoonists drew it, a ski slope, straight. And then I realized, is he going to talk or am I going to talk? And he said, breaking the ice, who's doing your show tonight? And I said, Joe Namath, which was true. And he said, how are his knees? That hung in the air for a time, and then I moved on to Mrs. Nixon, whom I adored.
Well, maybe we'll take a call, if that's all right.
You wouldn't be sorry.
Very good. We're going to go to Paul. Whatever you're saying is good. We're going to go to Paul in Bay Ridge, who has a question. Paul, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Mr. Cavett.
How are you?
I was at one of your early shows as a teenager, and I'll never forget it. It was quite a pleasure.
I was probably a teenager myself back then. Sorry.
I wanted to ask you if you could recount briefly your interview with Marlon Brando. I remember it was like slow Chinese water torture getting him to answer almost any question. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and I didn't find it torture at all. I was so in favor of Marlon Brando. Might have been trouble for him. And I was rather proud when I said, did you know The Godfather would be such a hit? And he said, oh, I want to talk about movies.
Sure. What else would, why would you want Marlon Brando to talk about movies?
Exactly. What a surprise.
Yeah.
So I said, how about the book, The Godfather? And this got a rewarding, huge laugh from the audience. My director admitted to so falling in love with Brando's grin in a one shot that he could hardly bring himself to cut away from that magic face. And but yeah, the show, you're not totally imperseverant. It was awkward at times, but it was Brando, and the Indian part was starchy, and but it was a most adventurous night of my life, because afterwards he broke Ron Galella's jaw 8 inches from my face, and it would be very hard to forget that.
What caused that to happen?
Hey, Marlon, take off the sunglasses. Mm-hmm. We were in Chinatown, and Marlon was trying to find a restaurant he had known years before, and it looked like we were on a closed set at Universal or Paramount. It was a Chinatown set street.
Right.
With nobody there, late at night, dark, few neon signs glowing with kanji and English, right? And Galella appears with an assistant, and Marlon said, which one is Galella? And I said, the larger one. To cut to a very long story to the chase.
Yeah, that would be fine.
A very good.
That's it.
I'm here to please.
No, I appreciate it.
It followed the line, hey, Marlon, take those sunglasses off.
And then kapow.
And then he leaned in as Marlon said, what'd you say? He said, and then did what's called a slip punch in street fighting, or sucker punch, the one that occurs in two of his movies that I can point to. It's in the middle of a sentence, as in, don't you ever get tired of taking the same picture? What'd you say, Marlon? Don't you ever get tired of...
Wow. It's a good trick.
Broke his jaw, lifted him a little off the ground. He came face down on the hood of a car without putting his hands down. Now, I don't know a stuntman could fake that. And the story goes on, including the next morning with his hand swollen to the size of a grapefruit and my making him go to a hospital. And
was he staying with you? Was he sleeping on your couch or something?
Not that night. Oh, no, okay. He was staying at the St. Regis, and we had agreed to have breakfast. And his hand was stowed up. It looked like bed was all bloody, if you want real graphic details. And the wound had opened, and a sawbones employed by the hotel had come in and sewn it up with black thread from the bathroom. It would have been, that guy would have been played by Thomas Mitchell. You know, if you just give me a little drink, I think maybe I can hold the needle steady.
Well,
and
Paul and Bay
saved
Ridge.
His life. I saved Brando's life.
Well, I think we're all very glad that you did.
That's why you probably called me.
Yeah. Paul and Bay Ridge, you've just had an example of what happens when you ask Dick Cavett a simple question.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in. Mm-hmm. Betty Ann on the Lower East Side says, Dick Cavett was absolutely brilliant on Broadway in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I was, yes. Most nights. Once, as anything in a long run, ever so often.
You played
often,
the narrator, is that right?
Can't stand the sight of you. Yeah. And I took vast liberties to the not necessarily pleasing of the author, because I treated it as a nightclub act, monologue and stuff.
Right.
And I love being heckled, and you get heckled at the Rocky Horror Show.
Sure.
If they
this is the
me,
live show before the movie?
No, there was no movie. This was the stage show.
The Rocky Horror Show.
The real Rocky Horror Show.
Not, right.
Often they made that mistake in writing about it. No picture show. But it was great fun because, you know, some little girl would kill a punchline, just three words in the end, by yelling out, do you know Mick Jagger?
How did you find time to do Broadway when you were doing all this other stuff?
Do you want to know what I said to her?
Sure.
I said, honey, I'm going to bitch slap you to the curb.
Well, let's go to Spartacus Bernstein in Brooklyn Heights.
Hi, good afternoon.
May I just verify for a second? Do you want to take this one, Dick, or shall I?
Were you written by S.J. Perlman?
Is your name truly Spartacus Bernstein?
Yes, it is.
We know how
but it wasn't
sick
always.
You must be of answering that question.
I think that's a delightful name, but I would like you to fax a copy of your driver's license here to prove it.
Credit cards. But it wasn't always Spartacus.
Yeah, you
Bernstein.
Can send me your credit cards. That'd be
it.
Fine.
Oh. It wasn't Bernstein.
What was it?
Was it Oedipus
no,
Bernstein?
I can hardly hear you.
However, here we are.
You're lucky.
Woody Allen and Dick Cavett are great favorites of mine, and I don't know which came first. The movie Manhattan in 1979, when Woody Allen lights a cigarette, and Meryl Hemingway, who's about a third of his age, says, you shouldn't smoke, and he says, it's okay, I don't inhale.
Get out of here, Spartacus.
Another source. You thought you had one on Bill Clinton, but now Woody Allen trumps you.
Spartacus pronounced backwards as sucker traps.
Well, thank you very much for that call, Spartacus. I'm speaking with Dick Cavett about his long career interviewing everyone from Katharine Hepburn to Groucho Marx to Saving the Life of Marlon Brando, all of which he discusses in his book Talk Show, Confrontations, Pointed Commentary, and Off-Screen Secrets. We're going to take a little break, and then I hope we'll take some more calls. The number is 646-829-3985. You can ask Dick Cavett some questions, and I'll ask you to do some magic if you don't mind.
You jest.
I do not. Here's the break.
Frequently.
My name is John Hodgman. I'm sitting in for Leonard Lopate here on WNYC and WNYC.org. My guest today is none other than Dick Cavett, who is going to be appearing live in this city. Are you not?
I am. Presumably live, yes, on Thursday night, this coming Thursday night, at the Ethical Culture Place, Society for Ethical Culture.
Society for Ethical Culture.
That's the auditorium.
I'm on the Upper West Side.
Yeah. It's called Socrates in the City, and a man named Eric Metaxas invented this thing that's been thriving now for years. They get learned and amusing and profound and entertaining people from all over the world and to come in and do an evening.
So if you'd like to see Dick Cavett in conversation at Socrates of the City, the details are on our show page. Also, I should mention details are on our show page for how to get Mark Adams's book, Turn Right at Machu Picchu, which is published next week. And I'm going to do one more plug. Speaking of music festivals, a Solid Sound Festival up in North Adams, Massachusetts, where I'm curating the comedy stage, is offering luxury bus travel straight from New York City there. And that's going to be a good time, too. That's the end of my plugs. Now you tell a Groucho story.
Could you repeat those? I wasn't listening.
That's okay. That's on the podcast.
Okay, a Groucho story?
Yeah, why not?
Well,
we have to do one.
One often wonders if everyone has heard the famous Groucho stories, but here's one I could just about guarantee you don't because the source is rare.
Very good.
A producer who worked for him was having dinner with Groucho in the Beverly Hills Hotel restaurant, whatever, and a man comes over with his wife. And this was at a time in Groucho's life when he was complaining that I can't insult anybody because they all think, oh, that's Groucho, rather than I really can't stand them. But anyway, a guy comes over with his wife to the table and he says, Groucho, say something insulting to my wife. And Groucho looks and says, with a wife like that, you should be able to think of your own insult, eh? Well, I think that's very, very funny.
Let's go to Matt Benchley in Manhattan, who has a call.
Benchley.
Matt, are you there?
Yes, I hope I am.
I think you are.
Okay. I have a question. It is my impression that Dick Cavett is the one referenced in Randy Newman's song Rednecks when he says, I saw Lester Maddox on a TV show with some smart-ass New York Jew. And was that not Cavett's interview with Lester Maddox that he was talking about?
This is so weird that you should bring this up. Not 3 days ago, so maybe two or four, I got a DVD where I can finally hear that for the first time.
The song or the...
The song.
Right.
He is referring to the Lester Maddox show. People ask me from time to time if I've heard it. No, I never have. I'd love to and will. It's sitting on my desk. So the next time I'm on here with John, I'll be able to report to you my reaction.
That'll be 10 years from now.
Yes.
Yeah.
New York Jew is the line that interests me most.
Exactly. That's why I thought it was so funny, because when I found out the source... The two didn't quite jive, but then it's Randy Newman's creativity.
What would you call his attitude in doing this?
Oh, well, it's his typical satire. I mean, the song
yeah.
is called
He's a provocateur.
I know.
We don't know our butt from a hole in the ground. So
he is a funny guy. I just haven't actually heard it yet.
Thank you, Matt. Have you met Randy Newman?
I'm sure I'd have remembered.
There you go.
But
ask him about it the next time you see him.
You can forget people you taped with.
How's that possible?
The same day.
Well, because it becomes very common to speak to someone and have an engaging conversation, and then you have to move on to the next thing.
Right, you have to flush that show away, I guess. I made Johnny Carson feel better once because he was worried, and he said, Richard, you ever forget who you taped with? And I said, there's so many. And he said he'd related how a doorman had asked him who he had on that night, and he couldn't come up with any of the four guests. I love Johnny. I wanted to make him feel better, and I said, I came home one night, come to think of it, and I had a one-person show. And I got home and somebody yelled out, how'd the taping go? And I said, fine, who was it? I ask you to believe, 14 minutes to come up with the obscure name, Lucille Ball. Now, what is that? I remember going, oh, God, whoever it was sat right there.
You have talk show host disease.
I think it may be.
I'm speaking with some man I don't even remember the name of, and we have someone calling in.
Oh, by the way, it's Gesprächmeisterkrankheit in German.
Oh, thank you for telling me that, whoever you are. Dave from Manhattan is calling in. Is that Dave?
Oh, hello.
Hey, Dave, and thanks for not saying how are you and just going right to the question.
Yeah, that's a two-part question.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this Dave Hill?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Dave Hill.
Hi, John. Hi, Mr. Cavett.
Okay, Dave, prove your Hill. What's the word I told you to use as a password if you ever called me when I was on the radio?
I don't think
John
I can
Hodgman.
Say it on the radio.
Oh, you're right. You know it.
Dave Hill is a comedian in New York City who has a live talk show at the UCB Theater called The Dave Hill Explosion, which is where I first saw you in person being interviewed by Dave Hill a couple of years ago now.
Yeah. You know, I'm moved by that because you were too nice or polite or shy or in awe of my majestic presence to come up and say hello.
No, I had a thing after, so I had to go.
I wouldn't allow him.
Yeah, no, Dave Hill told me I couldn't approach you. Dave Hill has wanted to keep you to himself.
Probably.
Now you'd guys go around doing this double act.
Yeah.
Young weirdo talks to old weirdo, I think it's called.
And which of us is that? I don't go by age.
No, I don't. I'm age blind myself.
Yeah.
But Dave is a masterful interviewer, and particularly a masterful interviewer of Dick Cavett.
He's a very witty interviewer, too. Once I went home and remembered something he had said that I hadn't gotten at the time, it was so good.
Really? It took a while to cook?
That's right. It cooked and then boiled over in my head later.
Well, since that first time that I saw you on the... Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't have any idea what it was.
Yeah, see, I
think it was...
Magic, though.
Oh, wait, it was So's Your Old Man, I think.
There you go.
Or Your Mother Wears Army Shoes. It was one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Two classics.
Those are my aces in the hole.
Since I saw you interview Dick Cavett, I've always wanted to interview him myself, and now I've done it, Dave.
Yep.
Now you have no use for me anymore, Mr. Hodgman.
Well, this is basically I asked you to call in so that I could tell you, buzz off, it's me and Dick from now on.
Do I still get to ask questions?
Yeah, do you have a question for Mr. Cavett?
Oh, yes, yeah. Shoot.
I don't get the signal down in the bunker, so I haven't heard any of the show up until this point.
Okay.
So I don't know what you've discussed, but I was wondering if you had any stories about Woody Allen or Groucho Marx.
No.
Oh, gosh.
He missed the Woody Groucho section.
You've already heard them.
Mr. Cavett, can you think of an anagram for Spiro Agnew?
Oh, it's hard to do them when they're thrown at you.
Yeah, Dave, what are you doing here?
Grow a penis?
Yeah, that's the. Don't you remember I told you? I was giving you a softball. You did that on Johnny Carson when I was a kid.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I was hooked.
I did it on ABC when it occurred to me and on the way to the studio, and I think they cut it out, but...
You couldn't say penis back then.
Well, no. Thank you, Dave Hill, for calling in and keeping it classy. Nice talking to you, and I'm going to move on now to Andrew and Yonkers. Andrew, are you there?
What a
friend. Yes, I am here.
Hi.
Dick Cavett, so many great memories. Do you have some memories of Muhammad Ali?
Many. There was a time when I thought he might be my best friend in the world. I loved Ali, and I don't know why I don't go see him wherever he is. He stayed in my house one night in Montauk, and I made him breakfast the next morning, and he didn't realize I had made both of us breakfast, and he ate both mine and his. And I just loved him. From the first moment he said to me, "You're not as dumb as you look." This is my buddy.
I remember that very show, and I'll try to. It'd be a tough one for you to remember, but on that same show, he used to do that thing. I like your face. I like your style, but you pay so cheap. I won't see you for a while. And
yes.
You came up with an all-time comment. You used an old English word that's similar to the worst word in the English language, so we want to be careful. And then Ali, knowing you're not, of course, that way.
Was that when I said the company here is rather niggardly?
Exactly.
Yeah, and Ali put his hands around my throat, and there's a still picture of that. He knew the word, but he was hip enough to pretend he didn't.
Oh,
and
definitely.
If there are any dummies listening who don't know it, let's not explain it.
Look it up. Thank you very much, Andrew.
He just remembered something. Did you see the show where Ali and Frazier pretended to get mad at me, lifted me up between them and squeezed me with my feet 3 feet up off the floor? And I looked at the monitor and said, looks like a giant Oreo cookie.
Well, let's go on to some magic. How
I
about
offended
it?
John.
Magic. Well, I'm a guest here, you know.
Are you mad?
It's not my show. It's not my show. I'm sitting in for Leonard
Lopez. That's right. It can go in the dumper.
This is John Hodgman, who is responsible for everything that goes on in the show. You may email me and talk about it.
You have power.
This is the magic on the radio portion. And Dick Cavett is an accomplished magician. You can hear him riffing what looks like an ordinary set of cards. Mm-hmm. He has just cut them with a single hand very dexterously. And now he's trying to attack me with the cards. Oh, no, he wants me to choose a card.
Oh, no, don't take that.
No. Don't take the one that you're forcing on me.
Really,
I understand.
Honest to God, be sure it's a three choice.
All right, now make sure you stay on the microphone.
Don't let me see it. For God's sake, the Magician's Nightmare, don't forget it.
Okay.
You put it back on top. It's not that kind.
All right, we got to go quickly.
Okay, here we go. We go fast. We go on. I just move it up.
I've been talking with Dick Cavett.
I really don't want to know where your card is.
He's appearing at Socrates in the City on Thursday, and he's the author of Talk Show.
Yeah.
And these cards have just turned into a bunch of snakes. How did you do that?
Is that your card?
It is.
It is not.
Details for Dick Cavett's appearance are on the event page. I'm so glad that he was able to come. Thank you very much, Dick, for being here.
That isn't your card, is it?
On tomorrow's show, I will need someone to talk me through this. I'm afraid something has gone wrong here. Tomorrow's show, we will have... Leonard will be back. Talia Schroet will be here. About why our brains can be positive sometimes. Then a new documentary about three young men in an Afghan prison. Then John Turturro about his new film, The Passione. And then all will be well. And Stieg Larsson's girlfriend will be here to talk about her life with the famous author. Thank you so much for joining me on my premiere and rollicking and perhaps final episode as guest host of the Leonard Lopate Show. Thank you to all my guests, Dick Cavett, Mark Adams, Juliet Eilman, and of course, Amy Sedaris.